It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson faced off last night on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. They talked about tariffs and health care and immigration and abortion and a lot of other things. They both enthusiastically supported Donald Trump, and they refused, as Republican Senator Ron Johnson did this week, to criticize the president on tariffs. We're going to break down the debate from last night, and we want to hear from you. Did you watch or listen to last night's debate? If so, what did you think? What stood out? Did a particular candidate win you over? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're breaking down this debate today with Arnold Schober. He's an associate professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton. Professor Schober, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
There were things that that got repeated over and over again at last night's debate, which kind of amused me. Nicholson said many times that he used to be a cowboy, and he used to be in the Marine Corps. Vukmir, about halfway through, introduced the fact that her son is in the Army, and so that became military service became a thing that they sort of vied over. And then Vukmir also said she was a mom with a cause. She started her journey in politics when her daughter was in kindergarten, and she had issues, strangely, with the reading curriculum. So these are the things that they are, like, defining themselves as. Am I missing anything here?
I think candidates often try to bring an element of biography in. This isn't unique to these two candidates because it allows the candidate to connect with, we'll call them ordinary people, in a way that if you were to talk just about, you know, capital I issues, it would sound more abstract. So, yes, they both brought up their biography repeatedly. The Marine, send in the Marine, is on Nicholson's signs.
Right.
Vukmir, for in politics for quite a while here in Wisconsin, we know that she's a mom, that she has issues with reading curriculum, and now that her son is in the Army. So the biography is not unusual, and I think that given it was a Republican debate, we're going to hear more of that going forward, at least through August 14th.
So what were your other takeaways from last night's debate?
I think that the two main candidates, Nicholson and Vukmir, had some very substantive differences. Again, given that this is a Republican Senate debate, Vukmir was very clearly like, Trump is wonderful, Trump first, let's do what Trump wants, give him the space he needs. Nicholson, although definitely supportive of Donald Trump, he came across much more as, there's things I agree with Mr. Trump, but I come to my conclusions first. So I thought that was one big difference between the two of them. It was also pretty clear that Nicholson is much more interested in foreign policy than Vukmir was. He brought it up even in his question. That they were both candidates were given an option to ask the other candidate a question. Nicholson asked about foreign policy. Vukmir asked about something about the campaign. And I think that was another difference that came out pretty clearly. Both of them seem very comfortable. They know why they're running. They're comfortable in their shoes. And I think that came across pretty clearly.
And they seemed also pretty intelligent. Wisconsin, I should note that Wisconsin I streamed the debate. It was on TMJ television in Milwaukee, and it was also on the Milwaukee Public Radio, WUWM, and that's where I heard it. So let's go down the line here. On health care, neither, it seemed to me, really answered the question about whether it was a privilege or a right. What did they say?
You're correct in that, at least from my understanding as well, neither of them took that question and answered where's health care on that spectrum. Nicholson talked a lot more about kind of things we've done in Wisconsin, right, the other policies to increase coverage or deal with pre-existing conditions. Vukmir tried to make it more about Obamacare, kind of running a 2010 message again. I think neither of them wanted to kind of take the question as it was because it would be easy to kind of say this person believes health care is only for the privileged few, whereas health care is a right they might interpret as too much on kind of the Bernie Sanders side of the political spectrum, that health care for all and whatever you want. So I think they were trying to parse the question in a way that they wouldn't fall into one of those kind of political traps, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But
he called it a trap. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
No, that's okay. We have actually a clip from Leah Vukmir on this, on what she thinks of healthcare.
Health care is important for all individuals, absolutely. But the problem that has happened right now under Obamacare is that we have not created an affordable health care system. It is not a system that people are able to have access to.
So forgive me, Arnold, but it seems to me like she just said that she supports some sort of government-backed health care.
It sounds to me more that she would be interested in increasing access to it. Now, whether that's through a government program or through changing the rules in how you can apply for insurance, perhaps. She was very light on details, which is understandable in a 60-second clip. But nevertheless, you could interpret that as you have, that the government should somehow put its thumb on the scale one way or the other. But what was very unclear.
I know she did talk about how wonderful Wisconsin's state health system is. I think that's probably where I got it from.
Yes, she did say that Wisconsin had expanded coverage in the past. Clearly, there's differences of opinions on that, but nevertheless, she did point back here.
Nicholson, she was a supporter of Act 10. Did Act 10 actually hurt our health system?
If you were a state employee, you wound up paying more money for your health care coverage. And so if you take it from that perspective, you could say it made it more expensive for those employees.
But it didn't change the system.
Outside the public sector, I'm not sure that you can make a strong argument one way or the other.
Nicholson talked about price transparency and health care as a free market entity. Any surprises from him on this issue?
No, those talking points that he was giving there are kind of straight out of kind of the right half of the political spectrum on what to do about health care. There's a lot of discussion, even in the academic world, about how do you price medicine, because it's clear that some things are overconsumed. People use too much of some kind of health care and not enough of others, partly because no one really knows what it costs. And so one approach to that is to like post the prices and say, this costs this. Some people are uncomfortable with that because it says, well, your health has a dollar value attached to it. But those are not surprising proposals from him. They have been circulating for years.
And Vukmir has been criticized for taking money from insurance and pharmaceutical companies. What did she say when asked about that?
She gave kind of a long story about how she had voted against some of those donors at one time in the past. She wasn't specific about when or what it was.
Mm-hmm.
She gave the answers like, well, I'm a nurse. Of course, healthcare companies are going to give me money. She said they give me money, essentially, she would give me money because they like me, not because I will vote. The money doesn't make me vote the way they want me to. I didn't find it as she didn't say that as convincingly as perhaps she should have, typically that is the political science right answer. Most money follows people that are already voting the way they want. The money typically doesn't change votes.
So we have a clip of Kevin Nicholson talking about health care.
$20 trillion in debt. Not a chance. We're probably closer to about $100 trillion in debt if you're honest about our health care obligations.
So he didn't actually talk about this in the health care section, but he did say this a couple of times, health care obligations. Is he talking about Medicare here?
Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare is going to be the federal portion of that, is a huge chunk of the federal burden. That and Social Security is the gigantic lion's share of the federal budget. That is almost certainly what he's talking about.
And do you think that he's signaling that he's going to privatize Medicare or do something like that?
I think what he might be going after is ways to rethink how that system is packaged and priced. Thinking back to his other comments about pricing transparency, there's lots of debates about the VA health system, for example, and how do you adequately price and pay for that. There's been talk about doing that for Medicare as well. That's not the same as privatization. He didn't say that in the debate, and I think it'd be unfair to claim that's what he was going to do. But he certainly sounds like he'd be open to kind of revising how that system is paid for and what kinds of procedures are covered.
We are talking to Arnold Schober of Lawrence University in Appleton, and we are talking about the U.S. Senate Republican debates last night. Did you watch the debates? Did you listen to them? What do you think of the two candidates and also the three candidates that came on to join them in the last half hour? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. Or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Arnold, we're going to I want to move on to what they said about President Trump. I think this was interesting. This is what Kevin Nicholson had to say.
So I'm not going to fall into the trap. The president's done good work and we should applaud him for it.
So the trap that he was referring to was a question from Charles Benson saying, would you do you disagree with Trump on anything? Would you hold his feet to the fire on anything? And this is what Leah Vukmir had to say.
The liberal elite and the media want nothing more than to bring this president down.
So they both sounded to me like they support President Trump and they support him very strongly. And particularly, they both did not agree with Ron Johnson that that maybe President Trump's tariffs policy was not quite right, that maybe it needed some adjusting. What do you make of this?
Again, I think Vukmir was very clear that whatever Donald Trump does, or at least my impression was, whatever Donald Trump does, I mean, she's behind it. She talked about him as a leader. She talked about him like Ronald Reagan at one point in there. It is clear that she is trying to appeal to the many Republicans who now have a positive approval rating of Trump. I mean, there was much made last week of a poll showing that Trump has higher Republican support than any other same party president since we've had polling. He's got very high Republican support. So for both of them to support the president is not a surprise given those dynamics. These are going to be Republican voters coming out.
Right.
It'd be a mistake for them to come out and trash the president, let's say. I think Nicholson, again, he did not, to use his words, fall into the trap of complaining about Trump. He did, though, suggest that he was in favor of free trade. He suggested that Trump should negotiate it, but he was a little more careful to say there's unfair tariffs from other countries as well, especially Canada, which he mentioned several times. But you're right. They were both unwilling to directly criticize anything Donald Trump had done.
So I'm wondering how this is going to play out in the general election for either of them. I mean, yes, a large majority of Republicans in Wisconsin favor President Trump, but only in the last poll that I saw, about 38% of people of both parties or no party favored Donald Trump. So is that going to hurt them as they go against the incumbent Tammy Baldwin?
I think it could. I mean, we'll have to see. One of the big questions around the midterms this fall is how much of a distinction do voters make between Republican candidates and President Trump? Democrats are feeling lots of energy on their side, like Trump is unpopular. He's about as unpopular as Barack Obama was at this point in his presidency. So even if you look at 2010 as an example, that would give them hope. On the other hand, Trump is very different than Obama in ways that we don't need to enumerate here. I think it's more of a danger if you are running kind of with Trump kind of around your neck, so to speak. I think if Nicholson or Vukmir could say, look, I'm going to represent Wisconsin, think of me first, and then yes, I want to keep those Republicans in my column. Trump has done some good things. It may not hurt them as much. We've seen cases around in special elections where Trump hasn't been as devastating, so to speak, as some commentators thought he might be. But still, I mean, Wisconsin isn't as pro-Trump as somewhere like Oklahoma, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a risk. It's a calculated risk. But I think the extent to which they embrace Trump will answer that question.
I guess given the fact that they both pretty much have similar attitudes, wouldn't it have behooved them to say, yes, I do, you know, it, as Nicholson, as you said, did, and would it have behooved him to do it more, and for Vukmir also to say, I do support Trump, but I'm gonna stake my own ground on this issue, so that they could have that kind of separation.
To have a little ledge to say I am different than.
Yes.
I think the short answer. It would have been good advice for any candidate to say I'm not just a carbon copy of candidate X. And I think that Vukmir did not do that very well last night. In the last half hour of the debate, she did. There was an inkling of this when she said she was heartbroken by the separation of children from their families.
Yes.
And that was the closest she ever got to criticizing the president. She didn't criticize him there, but she said this was heartbreaking to her. She didn't want it to happen. And then they turned to something else. She could have made more of that, and it would have been, I think, very much to her benefit on something that's going to be an ongoing controversy this year and maybe next year.
Right.
And Nicholson probably has a little bit more of a ledge. I mean, he has more things to stand on there, but you're right. You want to be sure, and both those candidates probably will need to spend more time after August 14th talking about why, yes, Trump has done some good things, but here's how I'm going to hold him accountable to the people of Wisconsin.
And also, Vukmir did say that she is for equal pay for women. She was pretty unequivocal about that, which mm-hmm. I thought was a really interesting thing for her to say. She was asked a question specifically about being a woman. She also said that she resents the question.
Yes, she did, and I thought that was an interesting take. I think where she was going was saying, I don't want to play identity politics that way, which is not what she said, but I think what she meant. I think, as she said, she's gotten the question a lot, how is it like being a woman in the Assembly, in the Senate, and wherever? And she doesn't want to talk about that. Right. Although, on the other hand, she did come out, as you said, very unequivocally and said, I support equal pay for women, which would be more of a bill, at least as currently constituted, that would come out of the Democratic Party,
mm-hmm.
the Lilly Ledbetter Act and other things like this from the last couple years. So she didn't elaborate very much, but it's clear to me that she doesn't really want to talk about identity as such in her campaign.
Yeah, she did. She did say, you know, nobody asked a male politician how is it to be a male in the state legislature. So it was kind of an interesting moment, but that was toward the end. We're talking about the debate among Republicans who want to take on incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin in the race for U.S. Senate. Political scientist Arnold Schober has more analysis in a moment. It's The Morning Show. Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We are talking with Arnold Schober from Lawrence University in Appleton, and we're dissecting last night's Republican senatorial debate between mostly Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson. Give us a call if you have watched the debate. What are your thoughts on it? Who are you going to vote for in this primary? Who do you think has the best chance of beating Senator Tammy Baldwin in the general election? Republicans, what are the issues that are most important to you in this Senate race? Arnold, we're going to talk about tariffs now. That was one of the themes that they were asked about. Both were explicitly asked if the trade war was causing permanent damage. Shannon Sims specifically pointed out that they didn't answer that question. This is a tightrope they're walking on here.
Yes, it very much is. And no, they didn't answer it directly. It's a tightrope because the Republican Party has, over the last 20 to 30, 40 years even, been the party of free trade. And Donald Trump is not that. He's not about free trade. He's about what he might call, quote-unquote, fair trade. And so as Republicans, they would be, by default, expected to be against tariffs. And yet they have to deal with a president who isn't. And I think the difference between the two candidates was that Vukmir repeatedly talked about we need fair trade for our farmers, fair trade for this. And she also talked about listening and that the farmers she's talking to are okay with this for now.
For now. It wasn't a ringing endorsement. It was, I've talked to farmers and they're holding on. That was kind of.
So that was my impression. But she was listening, as she said. Where Nicholson tried to turn the question around and say, look, other countries are imposing tariffs on us, seemingly independent of Trump. That's unfair for us. We need to negotiate them. He also talked about kind of the arc of negotiation. Lukemire did a little bit as well. They were both uncomfortable with it. I think certainly they would have much preferred to be defending a president who was pushing for lower tariffs around the world rather than trying to get better deals with higher tariffs.
We have Natasha emailed us. She writes, Leah Vukmir has an ad boasting about the money she stripped from Planned Parenthood. I can't believe in 2018 a woman is campaigning on eliminating money for reproductive health. She says also in the midst of the opioid epidemic, domestic violence issues, and human trafficking, Planned Parenthood is the only place some people can go. So how big, they didn't mention this at all last night, how big of an issue is reproductive health in the Republican primary?
Probably not very much, actually. Your listeners may remember that Republicans in the House of Representatives have repeatedly tried to strip funding from Planned Parenthood through Title X in the last couple of sessions of Congress. And so on the Republican side of the column, it's not nearly as controversial as it might be in a general election or certainly on the Democratic side, where apparently that's going to be one of the talking points for Democrats this year, is abortion.
Okay, so how is this going to play out in the general election against Tammy Baldwin?
We will hear about it. Tammy Baldwin very clearly is on the other side of that question. There's no doubt about it that this will be a point of distinction. If Vukmir were to win, this is going to be a front and center issue. I mean, how much funding, how expansive should pro-life versus pro-choice policy be? They'll clearly be front and center. With Nicholson, I don't think it'll be quite as central because he has other things that he talks about. Lukemire is very clearly a pro-life politician. She mentioned that repeatedly through the debate last night, and it's clearly something that animates her. So as far as Republicans, I don't think issues around Roe versus Wade is going to be as big of a deal as it will be in the general.
So they mentioned Tammy Baldwin a lot last night. Nicholson actually sounded, at first especially, that like he was running against Tammy Baldwin already and not against Leah Vukmir first. One of the things that came up was TOMA. The TOMA VA healthcare. We did a show on that earlier this week about how the TOMA VA is actually turning itself around. How big of an issue is that going to be in the general election?
Well, we've already heard a year of ads about it. It will continue to dog Tammy Baldwin through Election Day. It wasn't her finest moment. There are things she could have done or should have done differently. I'm not sure it would necessarily be a career-ending move, but it's certainly something that wasn't the best. So we're going to hear about it a lot. Tammy Baldwin isn't very well known. This is not unusual for U.S. senators. It's not unusual that voters don't know who they are, even for re-election campaigns. And so there's not a whole lot for an opposition party to run on against, but this is one thing. And we'll hear about it, especially from Nicholson, who, as you mentioned earlier, likes to talk about his military credentials, and the VA is clearly a military operation. And so we'll hear about it one way or the other, but certainly if Nicholson becomes the nominee on the Republican side.
So we're going to go to immigration. Both of them, in response to the immigration question, said a few times, we are a nation of laws. What are their immigration plans?
From listening last night, Nicholson wants a merit-based system based on the needs of the economy. This isn't unique to him. Several other Republicans have talked about this. Canada has a system like this. So it's not unknown in the world either. Vukmir's policy seems to be build the wall and then figure it out. On the many times they pressed her about this, she said, we've got to build the wall and then we'll figure out the details later. We got to do the wall first. So beyond the wall, I couldn't tell you from last night what Vukmir might like. Nicholson, I think, has stated a little more clearly that he wants immigration tied much more to the economy than it currently is.
But he also said that we needed to build the wall first, didn't he?
He did. That was the first thing out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We need to build the wall. We need to make sure that illegal immigration is solved so that we can move on to fixes for legal immigration. Both of those, again, thinking about Trump's popularity in the Republican Party, if nothing else defines Donald Trump, it is the wall. This is the thing that propelled him to, I guess, fame in 2015. And so they don't want to dispute that. I think Nicholson has given a little more thought, or at least came across as having given more thought to what happens after that, should it ever happen.
Vukmir talked about conservatism, her conservative credentials. She talked about how she stood shoulder to shoulder with Scott Walker on Act 10. She said she's been through riots in the Capitol where she had to walk arm in arm with security. She was talking about the protests in 2011. From what I saw of those protests, there were kids everywhere. Was there something I missed? Were there riots?
I don't live in Madison, but from the TV coverage, I would have to say that would be kind of an overgenerous or an overwrought description of what went on. Certainly was raucous, no doubt about that. Certainly there was a lot of noise. Certainly there was the concern on the part of some lawmakers about their safety. I don't want to judge.
Right. That's
those.
But riots, no riots.
Unless, again, there's something I didn't hear about.
So one of the things that I thought was interesting is when they got a chance to ask each other the questions, as you said, Nicholson talked about foreign policy, and Vukmir used her time to ask him a question about her support of Walker. She was attacking Nicholson's attacks against her being an establishment candidate. I found that a really interesting way of going about things. She was saying, you called me an establishment candidate and you put me down. I have stood with Governor Walker the entire time. Is he an establishment candidate? Do you not like him either? What was Nicholson's response to that?
He said, I think almost quoting here, that Walker is great, but he's not running for Senate. You are. He moved on very quickly from that, not wanting to get entangled with debating the merits of Scott Walker there. And I think what he probably wanted to say was, yes, he's establishment. He's been in government for a very long time, in politics for a very long time, and so have you, Leah, I think is probably what he wanted to say. It was interesting. I think they're trying to fight over the kind of the mantle of who's an outsider, thinking of Donald Trump as definitely an outsider to politics. Nicholson is probably slightly better claim to that of those two candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Vukmir was trying to push back and say, okay, maybe that's true, but don't establishment candidates do some great things like Scott Walker also? And I think that's where she was trying to go with that question.
Vukmir, going back to immigration, Vukmir was asked by Shannon Sims about whether or not whether her family benefited from immigration reform that she is now opposing. Did you see anything interesting in that exchange?
I think the thing that Vukmir did not say but should have is that when her parents and her uncles and aunts, the question was about chain migration,
right?
Relatives who aren't in the nuclear family. When those folks would have come over, that was before the most recent large immigration reform in 1965, and so the rules were very different then.
She did pretty much say that. But, yes, go ahead.
She had one comment, like the rules were different, but
right.
She should have said, we've had a substantially different system since 1965, which has been very different. She didn't go there. It was awkward for her because she did make a big deal about her Greek immigration, and it was clear that it wasn't just her nuclear family, and I think that answer wasn't as well thought out as perhaps it should have been, knowing that it's certainly something that's going to come up.
So I want to play another clip. We have like 2 minutes. I want to play a clip from George Lucia, who is one of the candidates also.
Well, I consider myself a center-right candidate. I haven't been approved by Steve Bannon, for example.
So George Lucia sounds like a really nice guy from the debate last night. But I wonder when he said that, you know, the debate opened with, let's prove to us your conservative credentials. Is there room for a George Lucia or perhaps a Tommy Thompson in the Republican Party here in Wisconsin anymore?
This is a very open question. I think nationally for both parties, there's a question of is there room for moderates? Certainly Wisconsin's Republican Party has moved further to the right than it once was when we routinely had Republicans, which we would once call Rockefeller Republicans after the governor of New York in the 60s and 70s. That's no more. I mean, Tommy Thompson would be hard to imagine in Wisconsin now. And the Republican Party has become much more ideological in Wisconsin, as have the Democrats, but certainly we've noticed it in the Republicans.
Arnold Schober is an associate professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton. He has joined us this morning to unpack the primary debate between Republicans Kevin Nicholson and Leah Vukmir for U.S. Senate. Arnold, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.
Hot iron, molten glass, pottery, and other things made with fire are on display at the Midwest Fire Fest, July 28th and 29th in downtown Cambridge. Watch a hot iron pour, see artists working with glass and iron, or try your hand at blacksmithing. WPR is pleased to support free, family-friendly community events. For more information, visit wpr.org/events.